This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We got you up on the socials this morning, which is a good thing and a bad thing at the same time, Kim St. Ange. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you?
Why is it a bad thing?
Well, I don't know. I'm being bullied on text this morning from my friend who tells me that I have bags under my eyes this morning. Those studio cameras are pretty good. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that. I told him, at this hour, I always have bags under my eyes. It doesn't matter how good the studio cameras are.
I am so thankful for under-eye concealer, because, yes, it is early. I feel like Buddy the Elf last night. I got a whole 45 minutes. I truly think I had. I am not exaggerating to you. I think I had 45 minutes, and I'm just listening to my husband's not a snorer, but I'm just sitting there, like, looking at him sleeping, just thinking, it's okay. It's okay. You can do this. No. So, yes, I am Buddy the Elf today. I got a whole 45 minutes. Wish I could have built a rocking horse or done something else cool with my time.
Yeah, no kidding. Could have built some toys for Easton.
Yeah. I'll do better next time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm working on my normal 6 hours of sleep or so. I have no problem falling asleep. It's just making myself go to bed is the problem.
Yeah. Isn't it funny? We fight. Well, maybe it's just me. I fight sleep during the week. I'm like a kid back in school. I fight it during the week when I know I need to go to bed. And then during the weekends, like on a Friday night, I'm zonked out on the couch by 8:30.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah. What's up with that? Even if I get a nap on the weekends, I'll find my eyes starting to close around 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So my late night clubbing days are long gone. Can't do that. Work this schedule for too long.
Shoot. You can't go downtown and
it's rough.
Party it up. What's that bar that they say is now they're having all sorts of issues with? I'm forgetting. There's some bar that was really popular.
I remember that downtown. But I can't think of the name of it.
Yeah.
Down there close to where that Jay Bucks used to be. Down off
the Wheelhouse?
Maybe that was it.
That was where there was a shooting outside of Wheelhouse not that long ago.
Right. I think that was it. No, you will not. You will not find me downtown at that night unless maybe there's a hockey game that I'm going to where Carl Middleman is playing some good Van Halen bump music.
Saturday? Are you going Saturday?
I am not going Saturday.
Saturday is Mardi Gras in Soulard and then a hockey game at 7 p.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. You going to Mardi Gras first?
No.
That's going to be a drunk fest then at the Blues game.
I feel
for you.
Until the game's over.
Oh, I see. Okay.
How's your finger from hitting the buzzer so many times?
Oh, sore.
Poor Carl.
Thoughts and prayers with you, Carl.
I was late on one, and then there was a goal that was called back. A ghost call. It was stupid.
Wait, when you say late, do you mean like 3 seconds or
like
30?
No, like a second late.
Oh, my gosh.
I noticed.
Extra pressure on you. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to make sure you're right, though, that they actually did, in fact, get a goal.
And I blew the horn once last night, and it was declared not a goal, even though everyone in the building, there was one person who thought it was not a goal, and he's the umpire.
The umpire. He's the ref. The referee in that case. Well,
he's
good
the
for
one
them.
That makes that choice.
I love it when they score in bunches like that. But I kind of wish they'd save some of those for future games.
Well, they're playing in Washington on Thursday and L.A. here on Saturday.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of people. And then Enterprise Center is full this weekend. Friday night is the pot party. I mean, Little Wayne is going to be there.
You were more accurate the first time.
Well, and then Disturbed is there on Sunday. So that is also going to be a pot party.
Well, that is a dramatic difference in music.
Yes,
back-to-back.
But the partaking will be the same.
Disturbed is the kind of music that Ethan may play when he gets to pick music.
Heavy death metal?
That's it's screaming at
no.
you.
Yeah.
It's music that's the point played in the 2000s.
That's, yeah. Can I just say, that's not music.
I don't know.
You're just screaming into a microphone, I can do that. If you put some background music, Mark, you're learning guitar. That was supposed to be a ba-dum-bum. You're learning guitar. You can play background for me, and I'll just scream, and then I'm going to try to sell albums with that. Is that okay, music?
It might work, or you could just talk, and then you could be a rapper, because that's all they do is talk.
I guess
so. So I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of either one of those. Disturbed had a couple of songs I liked, but I had a good friend who was so into Disturbed that he wanted to play the entire CD, and I after like the third, Ooh, second song, that was all I could take. That wasn't a huge fan.
It's the 25th anniversary of Down With the Sickness.
Oh, is there? Yeah.
So
wow.
They're going to play that in its entirety.
Time flies, for sure.
See, Mark knows that song.
I did know Down
I've
With
never
the
heard
Sickness.
Of Disturbed.
That's okay.
We'll play that for you a little later.
Please don't.
Come on.
It's okay if you don't.
It'll wake people up this morning.
So there's going to be a lot of marijuana at Enterprise Center this weekend. And I'm going to be in a room closed off with the windows closed.
And you'll still smell
it. And I'll still smell it.
Yeah.
Gross.
Because I don't want my clothes. I have to pick my clothes carefully because I might throw them away this week.
But no smoking is allowed in the building there. Carl, how can that happen?
Right. But Mark, when you went to a concert in the 70s or 80s.
I know.
Same
thing. Same thing.
On.
I'm just teasing. Hey, speaking of munchies, you know what today is, Carl? Every day is a different day. You know what today is?
I know it was Margarita Day on Saturday.
It's World Pistachio Day.
Love pistachios.
I didn't know that. But my friend who runs Tastachios, which is a fantastic pistachio, sent me a couple of bags of them in honor of today. So I brought them into the studio. Thank you, Bob. We appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Bob.
You can find these at a lot of stores locally. And they're very good wood-fired roasted pistachios. And he has them in all different flavors. And happy to share these with
you. You say pistachios, studio. Funny. Pistachios.
It's pistachio. Isn't that how you pronounce it?
You were
it?
Saying pistachio.
No, that's the name of the place.
Oh.
It's Tastachios.
Tastachio.
Like is the name of the brand.
Pistachio.
Maybe I'm mispronouncing it. Pistachio, Tastachio.
I don't know, but this is like ASMR where you're crinkling the bag into the microphone. People, do you like that noise? Is that soothing to
not.
You weirdos who watch ASMR
noise
videos?
When you hold it, it just makes noise. Sorry about that. All right, Carl, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Elon Musk, who conveniently seems to have forgotten that he was an undocumented immigrant as well. I refuse to let them scapegoat and target immigrants.
Pramaya Jayapal, one of the squad, who's absolutely insane, trying to claim that Elon Musk somehow snuck into this country as an undocumented immigrant from, I don't know, Africa. Help me here.
Worried that targeting an individual firm or individuals who aren't Jack Smith.
Excuse me, actions. I've been targeted for 4 years. Longer than that. So you don't tell me about targeting.
Yeah, Donald Trump doesn't suffer fools very well. The reporter trying to make some point about him supposedly using government resources to target someone. Same reporter that probably never used that same terminology in a story when they were targeting Donald Trump. And Trump's having none of it.
So let me just say to Megyn Kelly, in my 30-some years as a journalist and my 50-some years as a person of color, go f*** yourself.
Oh,
okay?
Don Lemon getting a little nasty there. He did not appreciate Megyn Kelly having zero cares, of course, about Joy Reid crying after being fired from her show. Her argument was nobody deserves it more. She's a vile racist. And Don Lemon did not appreciate that one bit.
Making sure that maybe people could bet on sportsbook in July versus September is not an emergency, according to Missouri state law.
Yeah,
There you have it. So that is the Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins. We're going to have him on in the next hour. So be sure and stay tuned for that, because he is defending his decision not to declare it an emergency, that you should be able to rush out to the casino as soon as possible and spend your money on sports betting. Like, he had nothing to do with this. When sports betting was being debated, he was opposed to it because of the way the bill was worded. But he had submitted his own bill that would have dedicated more money, 100% more money for schools than how they ended up doing it, and also to make sure they were putting enough money in the fund for people with gambling problems, of which there are apparently many. He didn't get his way, right? It ended up going, it never got to a vote in the Senate, so he never got to vote on it. And then it went to a statewide petition and passed by the barest of minimums, but it passed. So it will become law. But this is like them trying to go and say it was an emergency after marijuana passed, and you should have been able to automatically open a pot stand at the end of your street. Not that most illegal drug dealers don't still do that. It's just the fact that there's a process to get this into the system and make sure all of the legalities of it are correct. And somebody came to him and said, oh, we need to declare this an emergency so we can gamble sooner. And he said, no, this is not an emergency. And a lot of people are mad at him over it, like he's only opposing it because he's opposed to gambling. Clearly, if he promoted his own bill, he's not opposed to you being able to sports bet. So we're going to get him on here and let him explain that to himself coming up just a little later in the show, about 7:35 this morning. There's another issue I'm going to talk to him about, and that is the Missouri Senate has voted to cut the power the courts have to revise ballot summaries, which is also a big deal and will affect the Secretary of State. So we're going to get to all that and more at about 7:35. We'll be right back.
I am here to say that we refuse to let Donald Trump and his unelected billionaire buddy Elon Musk, who conveniently seems to have forgotten that he was an undocumented immigrant as well, I refuse to let them scapegoat and target immigrants.
Pramaya Jayapal there, the congresswoman, member of the squad. She's mad because she wants you to know that that these folks are not going to get away with this, and she's going to hold them accountable. Where does this go from here? I don't know. They're not getting the traction that they were hoping for in the mainstream media. I listened to the Raging Cajun, what's his name, the crazy
Carville.
Democrat. Yeah, Carville, James Carville this weekend, claiming that Trump's world's going to crash in about 6 weeks. People are going to get tired of this, and it's all going to be over in 6 weeks.
What's going to happen in 6 weeks?
Well,
what does that even mean?
Numbers,
it's going to be
his
over?
His poll numbers are going to implode in 6 weeks, is what he said.
Not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen either. This is a slow moving train from the standpoint that only today, for the first time, think about this, Donald Trump's been in office only 1 month. Today, for the first time, he'll actually get to have a cabinet meeting. He actually has assembled enough members of his cabinet that he can have a cabinet meeting. And guess what they're mad about now? They're mad now because he's going to have Elon Musk at the meeting today. Elon Musk will be in attendance at this thing today. Listen to Levitt answering that question, Carl. Cut to five, please.
Is Elon Musk going to attend the president's first cabinet meeting tomorrow?
He is, as a matter of fact. I spoke to the president about that before coming down here as well. And Elon, considering he is working alongside the president and our cabinet secretaries, this entire administration will be in attendance tomorrow just to talk about DOGE's efforts and how all of the cabinet secretaries are identifying waste, fraud, and abuse at their respective agencies. We look forward to the meeting tomorrow, and I think you'll be hearing from the president and his cabinet where they're on campus tomorrow. I hope you guys are excited.
Listen to this for just a minute, and this will tell you why Carville is so out of bounds on this particular one. Polling, this is a Breitbart issue, polling proves that Elon Musk and his Doge initiative are wildly popular in the public. An incredible 77% agree that a full examination of all government expenditures is necessary. A full 69% support the goal of cutting $1 trillion of government expenditures, and a whopping 72% support the existence of a U.S. government agency on efficiency initiatives, which is DOGE. Those numbers are overwhelming. I mean, they talk about the president's popularity, but these are numbers that came from a Harvard Caps Harris poll and registered surveyed 2,443 registered voters February 19th and 20th.
People voted for Trump to do this. So, I mean, people have to remember that. Sure, there are people who are angry at what he's doing, but that's actually not the vast majority. They're just the louder ones. They're the small group of people that seems to have a bigger presence at some of these school board meetings because they're the ones holding the signs screaming and shouting.
Yeah, well, they are screaming and shouting a lot. In fact, one yesterday even seemed to suggest that President Trump should be arrested. I don't know what they're going to do. All I hope is that the Secret Service has been boning up on its protection of Donald Trump, because he's out and about all the time, and there's no doubt in my mind one of these crazies is still likely to try to take him out before it's all over with. All right, coming up, we will get to Nicole Murray. And we'll tell you a little bit more information. We have some new information on the Brian Kilmeade event that's coming up on the 22nd. I'm going to get to that right after the break here. Then we'll get to In Other News. Next hour, Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins, and he can talk more about sports gambling and when that is likely to take effect in Missouri. Stay tuned. All right, just hopefully you've got your tickets already for the Brian Kilmeade event coming up on March 22nd. I would not at all be surprised to see that sell out at the factory there in the Chesterfield Valley. But I do need to tell you that there are also some VIP meet and greet add-ons that have been added, an opportunity that's been added here. So if you already have your ticket, that's fine. You can also add an exclusive VIP meet and greet, and that's going to be before the event happens with all the 97.1 crew, because Annie and Mark and I will all be there, and then, of course, Kilmeade will be there, and whoever he's brought along with him, and Allison, his producer, is just a fantastic human being, and she's always with him when he comes to St. Louis and on his book tours and stuff around the country. So if you want an opportunity to do that, you don't have your ticket yet, you can go to 971talk.com. We got all the details on there, and you can add on a VIP experience if you already have your ticket for the event. And we'd hope to see you out there. It ought to be a good time. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray, please. Nicole, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I didn't mean to say your last name with the New Jersey accent, but I hear you do that sometimes, so I couldn't help myself.
It's all right. I'm not offended.
We're glad you're back. You took a little needed time off, huh?
I was so deliriously exhausted by Friday. I was like walking into walls. It was awful.
Well, good for you. Well, Jennifer did a good job.
I'm very glad to hear that. She's top notch.
But we missed you.
I missed you guys, too. Thank you for saying that.
We are glad you're back. What's going
on
out there?
You don't mean it.
I do mean it. We did miss you. We love having you on. Thank you.
Miss you, too.
All right,
here we go. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 159, the NASDAQ down 260, the S&P 500 down 28. AB InBev has posted better than expected fourth quarter sales despite an annual decline in volumes. The drink maker reported a 3.4% increase in fourth quarter revenue to roughly $14.8 billion versus the 2.9% decline forecast by LSEG analysts. Total volumes declined 1.9% in the quarter and 1.4% over the full year stretch, which the company largely attributed to weak demand in China and Argentina. Starbucks is removing 13 less popular beverages from the list of offerings to help streamline operations and move customers through stores more quickly. The move comes as the company also plans to cut 1,100 workers as part of CEO Brian Nichols' turnaround plan. NVIDIA reports fourth quarter financial results this morning after the bell. Analysts polled by FactSet expect $38 billion in sales for the quarter ending in January, which would be a 72% increase on an annual basis. Target has struck a deal with Champion to carry an exclusive line of sportswear, including baseball caps, sweatshirts, skorts, and duffel bags. The cheap chic reef tailor has long used brand collaborations to draw shoppers to its stores and website. Egg prices are predicted to increase by more than 41% in 2025. That's according to the Department of Agriculture. The predicted price hike comes as prices skyrocket amid a bird flu outbreak that affected nearly 19 million commercial egg layers in January alone. And finally, as a result, Denny's is the latest breakfast chain to now charge extra for orders containing eggs as prices skyrocket amid a bird flu outbreak. Waffle House also recently announced an egg surcharge to help combat increased costs.
Wow.
Well, I know where I'm not going for breakfast then.
So I have a question for you guys. When you make like hamburgers at home, when you're mixing up the hamburger, you're putting whatever you add to it and all that stuff. Do you crack an egg and put it in there when you mix it up?
No, not typically, but sometimes I like an egg on top of it, like with avocado and some red onion and lettuce. I take it you do.
Well, I did. I had to make hamburgers yesterday, and I had some ground beef I had to make, and I did crack a couple of eggs. And it's funny, though, because I bought the eggs like 2 weeks ago, but I was thinking to myself, how much is each one of these eggs costing me to crack this and put it in my food? Which is weird because it's just never something you've ever had to think about. They've just mm-hmm. been so cheap and plentiful.
I know.
Over the years.
Well, I went to Costco the other day. My family and I, we love eggs. I had 3 hard-boiled eggs on my way to work today. And they had, I don't know if you go to Costco, Nicole, but they have like the cartons of eggs where I don't know how many you're getting
like
in there. 30
60 or something.
Is it that high?
No,
48? I mean, it's a lot of eggs.
It's a lot.
But they only had maybe 4 of those left. Total. And that shipment, the woman said, had just come in that morning. And they normally have the boxed eggs, but they also have other options like cage-free or organic. And they didn't have any of those left. It was nuts.
I love Costco. But yes, I actually went to Costco yesterday. It was chaos, but then you could tell where the egg section was because it was just that much more.
People
crowded.
Are hoarding eggs. It's like toilet paper. If you tell people that there's a shortage, then they suddenly have to run out and have it, whether they need it or not.
Well, I think Costco is one of those stores that's also putting a limit on how many eggs you can purchase because of people like that. So hopefully that helps.
Kim, don't be that person who's hoarding all the eggs. You're the problem.
Do you remember the price of that big box of eggs?
I don't know. Like, was it 8 something? I think she told us it came down. It equaled out to like 4 something, 4 and change per dozen, which is really good compared to
that's
what you
might
typically get.
That's not bad. I paid 5 something, mm-hmm. I think, at
Schnucks. Wow.
Yeah.
The other day. How much are they in Jersey?
In Jersey, I couldn't tell you what the Costco ones cost. I didn't even try.
Oh, you
to
didn't
enter
buy
that
them.
Madhouse.
Okay. All right.
But just a typical dozen is on the high 4s, I would say.
Okay. I have to poke fun at you really fast. So I had family in town this weekend, and I have a lot of relatives from the East Coast. And we were talking at dinner last night because my dad's side of the family, they used to live in the Massachusetts, New Hampshire area. And then for several years, they lived in New Jersey. And then they moved back to New Hampshire. So they kind of got crap from both sides with their accents because they joke. They used to say, I'm going to park the car. And then it was like, pork the core or something like that with Jersey. And I was like, I mean, your accent is totally fine, Nicole, but the way they did it, I'm like, that's just not attractive. If I don't hear that in your accent, pork the core, is that, am I saying that correctly for a Jersey accent?
Park the car? I don't know.
Park the car, but it'd be like pork the core. I'm butchering it, I'm sure.
That sounds almost like New York, Long Island.
You see?
Me.
There.
Yeah.
That could be.
So... yeah, I don't know. I can't. When people tell me I have a New Jersey accent, I can't hear it.
You don't hear it.
I just hear it when you say your last name.
We don't hear it much. We
Murray.
Hear it when you say your last name sometimes.
Murray.
Well, you're saying it differently now. You have your accent when you say it quickly on the air.
Oh, maybe that's what it is. Now I'm overthinking it.
It's your 9:30, 8:30 our time report.
Okay.
That's where we normally
Everyone
hear
tune
it.
In so you can hear Nicole say use her accent.
Murray.
Oh, you're going to do it now, aren't you?
I'm overthinking it now. Like, how do I say my own name?
All right.
So glad you're back, Nicole. Thanks.
Missed you guys. Thanks so much.
Yep. We'll see you on Friday. We'll talk to you Friday. Thank you for that. That's funny.
You know, we have weird... see, I don't think I have an accent being here from... I'm born and raised in St. Louis, but I know my relatives, we have relatives across the country, and they, you know, talk about how weird we sound with, you know, I'm going to go to the doctor.
The doctor.
The O's become A's.
Doctor. Highway farty. I noticed that when I moved here from indirectly Ohio, but South Carolina before I came here 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I most notably noticed the way my mother-in-law would pronounce the word farty. Highway farty, she would call it.
Wash the glow. That's a Missouri thing,
like
right?
That. But I'll have to say, and when it comes to regional dialects, the Midwest rules, because in broadcasting, you want the most benign dialect you can have, right? So if you grew up in a New Jersey or you grew up in a Alabama or somewhere down south where you have a southern drawl, it's a drawback in the broadcasting industry. It tends to be, at least it used to be. If you notice, when you go to small markets in any given area, if it's a small television market, you'll hear people who've been there 30 years and they're from that area and they still talk the way they've always talked.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pay attention to the people that make it to network and the bigger markets, most of them have taught themselves to eliminate that, whatever that drawl is that they would have regionally.
Yeah, I remember learning about that when I was going through broadcast school. Why is it also, this just came to my mind, Carl, you'll know this, like if somebody has a strong British accent, when they sing, why do you not hear that?
Sometimes you do, but not often.
Very rarely.
Like, well, the Stones and all the Beatles and all of them, you didn't hear it a lot.
Why is that a thing?
You can. You're not listening for it.
Yeah.
But don't you think if you have a thick accent just talking, it's not like when I sing, it comes out in a British accent.
When you hear AC/DC, you can hear that they're Australian.
Sometimes.
It still blows my
mind.
Brian
Johnson's usually screaming, and it's not easy to hear that.
But he sounds Australian when he's doing that. And he's British.
Yeah.
Someone answer that question. I need an actual answer because it doesn't make sense to me.
I'm more interested in is how people like Beth Dutton and what's the actress's name? Kelly.
Her name's escaping me.
She's British, but she plays that role of a Western girl.
Montana girl.
Perfectly.
Yeah.
And then Michelle Dockery is in a show we're watching right now called
Downton Abbey.
No. Michelle Dockery from Downton Abbey is in a show called Defending Justin or Defending Jason or something like that, it's called. And she plays the mother in there, and she's got no British accent at all. I have no idea how you could grow up speaking like that and train yourself to completely eliminate it on a screen. That would be
talent right there.
Riley.
Huh?
Kelly Riley.
It seems like her last name.
People who have a strong, like, we're just talking about British accents, it seems like they have an easier time. I'm sure this isn't the case, but it seems like they have an easier time kind of having the Midwestern accent than people who are raised in the Midwest have, you know, like the British accent.
Yeah.
It seems more believable the other way around. I don't know why that is either.
Yeah, it's
maybe
weird.
Maybe that's in my head.
All right.
The Bridget Jones.
The Bridget Jones Diary or whatever?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Renee Zellweger, is that who that is?
She did British, and people made fun of her for that.
There you go.
All right, coming up, we're going to get to In Other News when we get back. We'll be right back.
It's happening.
So you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In Other News.
Chris Jasper, he's a former singer-songwriter and key member of the Isley Brothers, passed away at 73 following a brief battle with cancer.
Aww.
A classically trained musician, Jasper played a pivotal role in the group's transformation from a vocal trio to an R&B and funk powerhouse in between 1973 and 83. So he passed away.
Oh, and he wrote several of their hits.
Yeah.
So young.
Love the Isley Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody. It looks like Kathleen Kennedy plans to retire as Lucasfilm's president by the end of 2025 after more than a decade leading the Star Wars franchise. Since joining in 2012, she oversaw the Disney acquisition of Lucasfilm and relaunched Star Wars with The Force Awakens, but faced challenges with director's changes and unfulfilled projects. Her tenure included hits like Rogue One and struggles like Solo, and beyond that, she actually had a legendary career. She was part of E.T., Indiana Jones, and Back to the Future, earning her 8 Oscar nominations.
Why don't they just get smart and hire Carl Middleman to run that franchise?
No.
Come on.
Right?
We get back to the original.
I mean, that would be great.
Thank you.
I'm not qualified for that.
Sure you are.
Your just knowledge of Star Wars alone probably qualifies you.
No, they're like Dave Filoni or even...
John Favreau.
Would be much better choices.
I would love to see you in one of those competitions on test your Star Wars knowledge, and you go up against the best of the best, and Carl, you could hold your own.
But you've done that, haven't you, at Trivia Nights?
I hate Trivia Nights.
Don't get Carl started on Trivia Nights. It's a sore subject for him.
Because The people, and
I knew
you know,
it. Here
it's
we go.
Hard.
Here we go. Tell us,
it's
Carl.
It's hard to run a trivia night. It's very difficult. You have to deal with a lot of people.
True.
And they put a lot of work into it. And the people that play trivia are awful. And I am one of those awful people.
Well, who play trivia. The first step is admitting there's a problem.
No, I try not to play trivia because I know. Because
you want to argue with them over the answer?
The name of the album is Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Do not accept Sgt. Pepper. That is not the name of the album.
So he's picky.
But when we question him on real or fake, he doesn't appreciate that. If you're going to, especially if you're playing for money, or for, I mean, I know it's for charity, but whatever. But if you're going to do it correctly.
Carl's the person that I've bitched about the most at trivia nights when I've had to MC something, where somebody will come up and nitpick over an answer, and we're like, dude, we're raising money for the swim team. It's not that important.
Right. But
it's not life or death.
But the people that play trivia play it
very seriously.
I guess
it's just people like me who are very competitive.
If you win, you're getting a trophy. It's not that serious.
$500.
Well, if you're playing for money, I could see that. But
it's bragging rights.
At a charity event, no, it's not.
So I usually turn down invites because I get invited a lot. I usually thank goodness for hockey, so I have actual built-in excuses.
Yeah, you always want Carl on your team.
Don't ask me to play trivia nights.
I need a trivia person. Carl.
We've deviated there, Ethan. Go ahead. Sorry.
It looks like John Lithgow has confirmed he will play Albus Dumbledore in HBO's upcoming Harry Potter TV series. The Emmy-winning actor admitted the role was a surprise offer and a difficult decision, as it could define the final chapter of his career. So.
No kidding.
Yeah, we were talking about this earlier. It doesn't look like they're going to go with an all-British cast. So,
well, he is. I mean,
he's New England.
He's a great actor, and I've watched him most recently in The Old Man.
Okay.
Yeah, he's been in that.
So good.
So it's been good. Yeah.
And he's in the Oscar-nominated film Conclave.
Yeah,
playing,
I didn't know that.
One of the Canadian offers, Cardinals running for Pope.
Haven't seen it yet. It looks like Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin evening will celebrate the 50th anniversary of Physical Graffiti with a U.S. tour in May. The tour kicks off May 3rd in Wallingford, Connecticut, and wraps up in the Greek Theater in Los Angeles. They do have a St. Louis stop.
Oh, they do?
It's going to be at the Factory January, February, March, April, May 17th.
May 17th.
Yep.
I need to go see that.
How is he doing that?
It's
not like he's got any surviving members in their band. Like, do they just give him permission?
It's a cover band, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. And his last name's Bonham.
Yeah. One other one real quick. Paramount Plus has added a vast collection of classic live performances from MTV Unplugged, CMT Crossroads, and VH1 Storytellers to its streaming library. This is, to me, awesome because that's what I grew up watching.
That's a throwback.
Nice. Mm. Back when they, remember the days when they actually played music videos on MTV.
I would come home from school at, 3 o'clock, and I would watch, was it TRL?
TRL.
Yeah.
You'll never look at music the same way again. Just don't watch it these days. All right, coming up, we got the Secretary of State, Denny Hoskins. We'll talk about the whole sports betting controversy, if it's a controversy. And Genevieve Wood on J.D. Vance over in Europe. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.